What's in the news today?
With so many stories.
Dozens of stories.
We're bound to miss a few.
I'm sorry, did I miss something?
It's In Case We Missed It with the Killer Bees.
And here's the stuff you missed.
This was something we missed yesterday, even though we talked about the Rockets yesterday. Alpi Shingun says that the Rockets at some point, he didn't say it's going to be this year, didn't say it's going to be next year, he didn't say they're stopping the suck right now, but he said that the Rockets at some point, someday, will be the best team in the NBA.
It's good to dream.
Do you think it's possible? Do you think they could be the best team in the NBA?
What's the window?
Hey, he didn't say a window.
Oh.
Well, I would imagine it's with him.
Possible.
I imagine it's with him on the team.
It's possible. I mean, if you want to make those kind of proclamations with possibilities, I could say, you know, it's possible that someday the wheelhouse will talk about baseball for 90 minutes. I don't know. I mean, I think anything's possible when you set it up like that, but I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to go that far. Look, it's possible, yes. I mean, let's just look, it's media day. Guys are going to grasp it. Guys have so many. There's only so many quotes they can crank out in the time that they have to talk. It's the start of training camp. There's not much to talk about. We haven't seen them play yet.
Yeah.
So get everybody fired up. Be a marketing train.
To be a champion, so many things have to fall in place. It was kind of like the conversation we were having about the Texans. Like, for the Texans to get back in the playoffs, everything has to fall in place. There's certain paths that you can take to get there. Whichever path you take, things have to fall in place. I like the building blocks of this team.
I do too.
I really like Jalen Green. I think Jabari Smith's going to be a really good player. I could see a scenario with those two pieces alone. And look, I like Alpi as a piece to what could be a championship team. Tari Eason, I think, is going to be fine. Kevin Porter Jr. is in a make or break season. But even if he plays really well, he might price himself out of what the Rockets are willing to give him. But I like the foundation of this team. So if everything fell into place perfectly, sure, yeah, maybe they could be the best team in the NBA someday. But I'm enjoying the ride, though. I really like where this organization is going.
There's a big difference. I think enjoy the ride and just be encouraged and be excited about the roster you already have in place. And then, you know, get in the car and drive along with them and follow it every step of the way. But I think the other thing that you didn't factor in there with everything that you said was you also have to weigh the landscape of the rest of the league.
Yep.
How soon and when can you anticipate a time where you're better than the Warriors? When you're better than the Nets, when you're better than teams that are going to be above you and the Bucks and teams like that.
See, I think that the foundation of the Rockets and the age that they are actually works to their benefit for those teams.
You can miss that generation and be the next generation?
Right.
Okay, that's why as long as you don't put a timetable on it, it's always a possibility.
I don't think it's the next 2-3 years, but I could see them building up to that. I could see them, okay, maybe you're flirting with 30, 35 wins this season. 40, 45 the year after that, then maybe you're a 50-win team in 3 years, and you have to add some pieces along the way.
But you outlive the – I get you. I get
no, they
point.
Have to outlive
you
those
outlive
guys.
LeBron.
Have
you to. Outlive Kevin Durant.
Although
you
Lakers were
some
trash
of those guys.
Last year.
But Giannis is still young, and then you got Ja Morant, and you got, you know, believe it or not, a loaded Pelicans team that still has a young Zion Williamson.
There's questions
and a lot
there.
Of pieces, but they got Brandon Ingram, and they've got a lot of young pieces on that squad as well.
There's not a young team that's a definite.
But no, but here's what I'm saying. The teams that we're talking about when you get to that next generation have an already established superstar where you're hoping you have one.
Yeah, you're hoping that it's Green. Right. Maybe Jabari can. Kelly Iko covers the Rockets for The Athletic.
Friend of the show.
He was a big friend of the show. He was talking about the groups that the Rockets have going, just like in the scrimmages, practices, things like that. Rockets running out of starting five of Porter, Green, Gordon, Jabari, Shingun. Their second group, Knicks, Christopher, Matthews, Tate, Garuba, and then Bruno Fernando. And then their third group, Ty Washington, Trevor Hudgens, Kevin Martin Jr. Wouldn't shock me if he's traded. Tari Eason, David Nwaba, and then Boban. So it looks like Silas, not given the, I guess, rotational minutes right away to Tari Eason. Looks like he's making Tari Eason earn it.
I think he's going to do Jabari that with all Smithson. The rookies.
Well,
think,
Jabari's an automatic. He's in group one.
Well, because he's Jabari taken at a different level, but I think he's going to make Ty earn it. He's going to make Eason earn it. I think after the summer league, you should make Christopher earn it.
Yeah.
Because he came in just doing nothing but
shooting.
He was
a ball hog.
Yeah. But I think that you've got, again, that's a good problem to have because you still know
a ball
that
hog?
No, I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about making the young guys earn it because they've already shown they have talent. Now, if you teach them kind of the structure that you're looking for as you get into their first year, they can earn it, and they can probably earn it pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay with what Silas is doing with the other two rookies, Ty-Ty, Tari.
Christopher can pull that crap in summer league when he doesn't have the guys you just mentioned around him.
I mean,
you start pulling that with Jalen Green and start pulling that with Eric
Gordon. There was some games last year where he was doing that.
Yeah, sure.
There were some games last year where he was doing that. The NFL is replacing the Pro Bowl game with a weekend of skill activities and a flag football game. You like this?
I love it.
Are you going to watch it? You're going to watch the flag football?
No, I didn't say I'm going to. Look, I love it because you don't have to be force-fed fake tackle football.
You're being force-fed flag football instead.
I don't want that either. But, I mean, this is progress. At least the chances for guys are less to get hurt, and at least they realize that it's not what fans tune in to watch, which is I'm expecting to see the best players of football go at each other. You know, a play, that's never going to happen anyway.
Is it a better chance to get hurt?
I don't like flag football. You know what was the worst chance?
Lance Berkman tear his ACL playing flag football?
Well, they had a sand football game member as part of it one year, and one of the defensive backs tore his knee.
That was like in the early 90s, I want to say.
I don't think it was that far back.
Maybe a Patriot did that?
I remember that happened. Yeah, it was just someone, yeah.
I can't remember who. It was a prominent name. I can't remember who it was.
I think RGG, was it Art? No, a couple years ago, Lamar Jackson was playing sand football. And it looked like he had done, and it was all over social media, and then it turned out he was going to be okay. But that's when everybody should have said, no flag football, no game itself, go bowling. I don't care.
I'm pretty sure Lance Berkman tore up his knee playing flag football. Which, why is Lance Berkman playing flag football? Yeah, Berkman hurt in flag football game, November 6, 2004. We may miss the start of the next season after tearing his ACL in his right knee while playing flag football.
Wow.
So, all right. There you go, Roger Goodell. You're going to eliminate the game of tackle football, where no one was really getting hurt since Sean Taylor murdered somebody whenever he took out that dude's, who was the punter, right? Didn't they try a fake punt and Sean Taylor crushed him? Just ruined him?
Yep.
But now you're adding the flag football, where elite athletes like Lance Berkman tear up their ACLs. Look, I don't really care they're getting rid of the tackle football game. I like the activities. I don't make it appointment television. But whenever I watch the skills competition, the quarterback competition, all the things that they've added, I find them to be pretty fun. I find them to be pretty cool. I like them more than the tackle football pro football game. So I totally endorse this, support this, and happy they're doing it. Are you ready for prime time, Blinkers? Are you ready for prime time?
What is prime
time? Prime time. Who was the football player that...
Deion Sanders.
Prime time. Head coach at Jackson State. Doing some good things there. He's being brought up in rumors. Georgia Tech already fired their head coach. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be other teams around, Power 5 programs, Florida State maybe. He would love to go to Florida State. Somebody's going to knock on the door of Deion Sanders. He's... Are you ready for prime time at a marquee college football program?
I want to see how he can do. And I think that one of the things you saw, as much as he really wanted to resurrect the program and do the things that he had, you know, earmarked to do, was he's gone up against some things that he figured out, he found out he can't win. He doesn't have the funds to do a lot of the things that he wants to do. He's had to pay out of his own pocket for certain coaches that he wanted to bring in. The fact that they had a problem, and I want to say it was with water and things like that, where he had to relocate his entire team, find the funds to put them in a hotel, practice elsewhere, and do things that, you know, big programs don't have a single issue doing. And I think he's starting to get frustrated. And I think as well planned out or as well thought out and what he wanted to do good in the position that he's in, but I think he's better suited for a big-time program, and I think he'll get that opportunity.
I don't know if he's getting tired of where he's at, but I think he wants to be on a bigger stage.
He's tired of the outside distractions of where he's at.
I mean, there's always going to be outside distractions. Hurdles. Yeah, I mean, he's prime time. There's always going to be hurdles, I think, because he's going to get a lot of attention. I think he's happy where he's at, but I think he does want to showcase his coaching prowess on a bigger stage. I mean, he was upset whenever they called Coach Saban Coach Saban and they didn't call him Coach Sanders, right? So he wants to compete against the Nick Sabans of the world. He wants to, you know, put his coaching prowess toe-to-toe, head-to-head with some of the other coaches in college football. I want to see it happen at somebody else's university. I think it'd be entertaining. I think it'd be a lot of fun to watch. He's recruiting really well to Jackson State.
Yep.
I think he would recruit really well to wherever he's going as well. I would be very entertained to watch Deion at somebody else's university to see what he would do at a big-time program. I wonder if Georgia Tech's big enough for him, though. I wonder if he might wait it out for a little bigger school.
I'll say this. The upside for him is it's Atlanta, and he's very familiar with Atlanta.
Sure.
I think he has a house there. So I think that's an upside for him. But I think downside is it a program, and does he think it's a program he can get back to major attention?
Tough place to win.
It is.
tough place to win. The cover's pretty bare there at Georgia Tech. Let's see. We'll see if it happens. All right, LIV Golf. They've been in the news for quite a while. Some controversial. Most of it controversial. They're close to rights with Fox to air their golf tournaments. Now, they'd be buying the TV time to do this, but one of the biggest things with LIV Golf has been, well, no one's going to carry them. No one's going to put them on television. I think it was Apple, maybe it was Amazon, I can't remember, one of the streaming services that said, no, we're not putting you on, I think it was Apple, we're not putting you on our streaming service. A lot of people thought, well, LIV's going to go away because no one's going to carry them, even though LIV has more money than anything. They don't care about losing all this money. LIV Golf looks like it's going to make it to TV.
Well, when you think about all the hoops they got to jump through and how much money they had to pay just to get players to leave the PGA, now it's one thing to say we're going to pay for the time. But you know as well as I do, as it relates to all we've dealt with in our careers, especially as it relates to radio, it's one thing to buy the time. Then you got to pay for the production, and you got to have all the equipment, and you got to take on and endure all those expenses. And then from what I've read, they also are responsible for going out and trying to sell it. Now you got to get a whole sales department experienced with national TV sales, and then you got to hope to God you have a product and you have an available product that's convenient enough that people are going to find it and give you more than the 59,000 viewers you were averaging on YouTube. And that you can pay the bills and also recoup and get people to buy into sponsoring and buying commercials of the product. Good luck.
They print money, though. They don't care about losing money. Like, this is
the
all.
The owners do.
This is the government. This is the Saudi government. They print money. They're doing it all for entertainment. They're doing it all for fun. They have more money than God. Like, the whole like, they're going to go out of business thing, as long as they want to keep it going, they'll keep it going. They don't care about losing the money. They just want the entertainment of being. I think now they're kind of doing it in spite of the PGA. The
fact that the PGA wasn't working with them. Adding fuel to the fire every chance he gets.
Like, this isn't some Ma and Pa.
Think about it, Jeremy. The only publicity they're really getting is just the back and forth that continues to happen with Greg Norman and Rory McIlroy and or the players that they're overpaying to try and steal.
But they don't care about it. They want to do it for their own entertainment. They have tons of money to be able to pull it off.
Keep spending and let the guys keep collecting, but then see if at a certain point they get tired of being an afterthought because no one can find it and no one cares.
You talking about the golfers?
The LIV Tour.
You're talking about the Saudi government.
The actual tournament. The ones they can keep funding it, but if they ever get concerned about really, truly making a difference and making a mark by having something that a lot of people are going to care about, engage in, and watch, I think it's a long way away.
I think they're doing it for their own entertainment. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Love it or hate it. Lovie Smith, we aren't making changes. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something that I love is Fidelity Fuels. The reason I love them, look, they're a wholesale supplier, distributor of petroleum products. If you need that stuff, you will love Fidelity Fuels as well. A couple of people who might be interested in Fidelity Fuels: construction managers, trucking companies, oil field professionals, industrial workers, farmers, or any type of fleet fueling. You need to contact Fidelity Fuels, and they're waiting to partner with you. Emergency response, hurricane about to hit Florida. Our thoughts with them. But hurricanes come through Houston and the Gulf Coast all the time. Floods happen in Houston all the time. A freeze happened last winter. So you probably have a generator to keep everything afloat, but do you have your fuel lined up? Well, Fidelity Fuels can make sure that you're prepared. That's obviously vital. Can't run the generator without the fuel. How can they help trucking companies? Well, efficiency. Keep the drivers out of the truck stops. Have more control of your fuel spending. Are you tired of paying the retail prices for your DEF? Well, let Fidelity drop a tote right in your yard, saving you time and money. Who doesn't love that? Who doesn't love to save time? Who doesn't love to save money? Call Fidelity. Do you need a solvent for crude or asphalt cleanup? From tools to terminal storage tanks, Fidelity offers a variety of solvents to meet your exact need. Fidelity Fuels can help on the construction side as well. Mobile tank for on-site fuel storage and delivery to fill up those dirt movers or whatever else you might need fueled. Fidelity Fuels works around the clock as well. You can count on them. They are reliable. They are dependable. 24/7, 365. They're also WBE, SBE, DBE, and Hub certified. So if you're looking for a partner for municipal contracts or to fulfill your company's diversity goals, Fidelity can help. Reliable deliveries and competitive pricing, that's Fidelity Fuels. Call now at 877-938-FUEL, 877-938-3835, or check them out online at fidelityfuels.com, fidelityfuels.com.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's give away a pair of tickets. A little Friday Night Lights. Houston, Tulane, Friday night, TDECU Stadium. Clayton Toon wears number 3. So let's give away to caller number 3, 713-780-ESPN. Caller number 3, pair of tickets going your way. Houston, Tulane, Friday, 713-780-3776. If you're not lucky enough to win those pair of tickets, no problem. U of H basically giving away these tickets. $10 for some Friday Night Lights. Houston, Tulane, American Conference opener, the final American Conference opener for the Houston Cougars. We want to see you there. It's a blackout game as well, so come early, be loud, wear your black. Caller number 3 wins a pair of tickets to Houston Tulane. Get on campus early. Enjoy all the tailgating. You know you want to get on campus. You know you want to leave work early. You always look to leave work having a drink a little early. There's no better way to do that than a tailgate at over at U of H. Opens at 2 o'clock. Cougar Walk, 345. You don't want to miss that. Houston Tulane, American Conference opener, Friday Night Lights. Head over to uhcougars.com, 713-GO-COUGS. Tickets starting at only $10 while supplies last, and they're going fast. You want to make sure that you get in on that. Okay, Lovie Smith at his press conference Monday was talking about, look, this is a Texans team that they're winless. They have not won a game in their first three, despite all of them being winnable games. Blowing the 20-3 lead at home against the Colts, having a lead in the fourth quarter against Denver, and playing a Chicago team that you could have easily won that game as well. You threw an interception that led to the game-winning field goal. You also threw an interception in the Bears' end zone that certainly would have played a factor in that game as well. Now, this has kind of been a quote that's been going around from Lovie Smith, the soundbite that's been going around about Lovie Smith, and I'm curious how you feel about this. The question's a little bit misleading, but he got into the fact about making changes for the Houston Texans, and Lovie said, look, we're not making them.
Guys, I mean, when the first time something doesn't go right, you change everything you believe that quick. Well, there's no belief in anything if you do that. So now it says no, 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 and no. We're going to keep doing the things that we believe in. We're going to do those better. It's where we are. 3 games into this 17-game regular season.
So Lovie was asked a question if his message was going to change to the team, but he kind of, you know, expanded on it a little bit about how they were going to handle things around the, you know, the offices there at Kirby, the facilities over at NRG Stadium. Is it time to press that panic button? Should the Texans be making those wholesale changes after 3 games and an 0-2-1 start?
No, it's not. And for a variety of reasons, it's not time. You're 3 games in. You're the new head coach of the team. You have come in with a plan and a philosophy and, as they like to say, a culture, and you are building it. And if you're going to say 3 games in, we're going to blow the whole thing up, we're going to change everything, or we're going to change things, then why should players who believed in that first philosophy believe in the second philosophy? And it grows bigger than that, but that's where it starts from. So you look at it and you say, could we make changes week to week with who we're playing and who we have and what we've seen with trends? Sure. But if you're sitting there trying to say that the head coach should be on board and say, no, we're going to blow the whole thing up, we're going to start over, or we should just press the reset button, too soon, and the worst look you can have from a locker room perspective.
You're always making the adjustments, sure, right? Like you're tinkering, you're trying to get you're clicking on all cylinders. You're never going to play a perfect football game. There's always going to be mistakes. There's things you're always changing. But in terms of, like, wholesale changes, like, okay, that we're going to go to a 3-4 defense, even though we've ran a 4-man front for Lovie Smith's entire career. You're not doing that. Pep Hamilton has his way of calling offense. You know, he's a decent offensive coordinator in the NFL. He's shown that he can be pretty good when he has good players. He shows that he's not very good when he doesn't have good players. Mediocre offensive coordinator, mediocre play caller in the NFL. Also, from a personnel perspective, like, the Texans too deep is the Texans too deep. They're playing what they think are their best players. Was Rex Burkhead a better player than Damian Pierce in week one? Nah, probably not. So you made a little tinker there. Damian Pierce now getting a heavy dose of the workload, right? He's getting a heavy dose of the snaps. Kenyon Green, a better left guard than McCray. So you make that switch. So there's going to be little, you know, tinkers that you make along the way. But in terms of, like, just flipping it on the script because you're not winning games, I don't really agree with that. I'm not a big fan of change for the sake of changing. You have to have a plan. You have to have a game plan that you think is in the best interest of your team. Sure, you're going to make changes, like small changes along the way. But you also got to, like you said, you got to practice what you preach. You got to continue to see that through. And I do think that for the most part, the Texans are doing the best they can with, you know, scheming things up. I didn't think Lovie had a great scheme against Chicago. I thought he had a pretty good scheme against Indy and Denver. Pep Hamilton, mediocre. I think Pep Hamilton's just a play, just a guy when it comes to play calling. I'm not blaming him for all of the Texans' offensive failures. I would put that more on the personnel than I would on Lovie's, on Pep Hamilton. But that's where I stand on these wholesale radical changes. I'm not changing just to change. Like, we are who we are. And the Texans just, quite frankly, aren't very good.
They're not. You're right. And that's, again, like, at a certain point, I still don't think from a cultural standpoint, from a locker room standpoint, no matter how good your team is, and you're right, what you've said is accurate for where this team is right now, and just another reason why, not let it ride out for the rest of the season. And it goes back to our conversation earlier about embrace the suck. After this season, if you want to reevaluate that, you certainly can. But even then, I don't think as a head coach in the media sessions, you should come out and say, you know, we're contemplating blowing the whole thing up and starting with a different approach. You can't do that. You can do that in preseason week two. But you can't do that at this point in the season. It's too early. But even at any point in the season, unless you're out of the playoffs, you're completely looking to next year, and you're starting to get a head start on next year by seeing and evaluating players a different way.
713-780-ESPN. Do you love it or hate it? Lovie Smith saying, look, we're not making those wholesale changes. 713-780-3776. How about in life, though? How about in life? Non-sportsy. Do you love it or hate it? Do you make changes when things aren't going well for you? You've had a bad week. You've had a bad month. Do you reevaluate things? Do you make certain changes in your life for the better? Yeah.
Right?
I do. I mean, there's certain times where I'm like, you know what, Branham, you've been eating too much. And then I eat more. I eat more than I've eaten the week before. No, but I'm serious. Like, changes to me are critical in life. Like, if you're trying to be better, like if you're trying to be a better Branham next week than this current week, yeah, I think you make those changes. Now, wholesale changes, like, you're not going to completely change who you are. Like, you're still going to have the same foundation, just like the Texans are going to have the same foundation with certain wrinkles that are switched around. But, yeah, I think that's a philosophy that I carry around in life. Changes when you need to make changes for the better.
When I heard this quote from Lovie, honestly, it made me like him a little bit more. And not as a coach, just as a person. And I already liked him because I think when you hold belief strongly, right, as a coach, you believe strongly that the way of doing things, the way that you do things is the right way to do things, then you're not. It's going to take more to make you shift, right? Doesn't mean it should be impossible, but it should be very difficult for you to change your opinion. To me, that just says you have confidence in your beliefs.
Now, can you be closed-minded, a little bit stubborn,
sure,
whenever you need to make changes?
And I would tell you, me, myself, I probably lean that way. But I think, like, I think it's more than a yes or no, right? Like, it's a spectrum. And sure, I would rather someone who leans towards being a little too confident. You need to have a willingness to change, but give me the person who's a little bit too confident, in sports or in life.
I agree with that.
It's the Nathaniel Hackett approach when it's okay. When you realize in your first time as a head coach, if this was Luffy's first go-round and after 3 weeks you had all the mistakes that were happening with Nathaniel Hackett and all the embarrassment and all the fingers being pointed at you and primarily you alone with a little bit of Russell Wilson sprinkled in, you'd realize I'm going to bring someone else in to help me be the head coach in games because I'm not doing a good enough job of it. I'm pressing the reset button there because I have to, because I've made too many mistakes and I can't avoid it and try and make excuses for it. But that's the only kind of reason that it would be okay. And Lovie's already been there, done that. He knows what it takes to be a head coach in this league. And he knows there's plenty of mistakes to go around. And he also knows what a bad look it would be if, having said all that, he said, you know what, we're going to start all over right now.
Yeah, I think so. I'd rather err on the side, too, of the confidence. Like, you are who you are, and you have certain, like, principles, certain things that you know, kind of hang your hat on that define you as a person. And then you make the little changes, the little tinkering along the way to try to, like, how would you say it? I guess, eliminate the rough edges, right? Like, you want to eliminate the rough edges. But for the most part, you are who you are. 713-780-ESPN. Do you love it or do you hate it? Did you like Lovie Smith's quote in terms of how he's handling the Houston Texans right now after an 0-2-1 start? How about you? Do you agree with the philosophy in your everyday life? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Also, I want to look at Miami. That Miami Bills game this weekend.
Yeah.
How in the world did Miami win that game? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you about Fitz for a long time. And look, they're the only company you should call when it regards anything to do with your roof. A leaky roof, a new roof, on your house, on your business, on your commercial property. But it goes further than that. You need home repairs done, they do that too. You want to talk about a fence in your yard? They did that for me two, three months ago. It's phenomenal. It looks great. It's up the curb appeal and the value of the property. And they will make sure that they take care of you no matter what the project is every step of the way. They pride themselves on customer service, and they want Houstonians talking about them to their friends so that that's just another way they get more business and repeat business from people that believe in what they do. Corey's the vice president of the Houston Roofing Association and the president of the company, and he prides himself and all of his workers on making sure they do what you need and they do it right the first time with no issues. They use the best products in the business, like CertainTeed shingles. They also have the best ratings and the best warranties, which are things that mean the most to you. Check them out today at FitzRoofing.com, F-I-T-Z-Roofing.com. See all the different services that they offer. And then get a free no-obligation inspection on anything you have going on or you're thinking about doing that costs you absolutely nothing but could benefit you greatly in making sure you hire the right company like Fitz to do the job. Check them out right now. Get that free no-obligation inspection, 832-521-3001. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Miami Dolphins beat up on the Buffalo Bills this past weekend, which was a huge win for Miami. The fact that they did it, too, without a huge offensive day, like Tua was kind of mediocre in that game. You could argue he was concussed in that game.
You can argue that pretty strongly.
His back was hurt. His back was concussed.
Really?
Quessenberry had the Texan center, Scott Quessenberry. He had a play the other day. It was very early. It might have been the first series. I was watching it today on the All-22, where he was dazed and confused and actually left the field for a couple of snaps. And the referee was, like, all on it. The referee was all on it. So, like, Quessenberry, and look, he's not going to get as much attention because he's a center and Tua's a quarterback and is having a really good start to the year for a team who's 3-0. But the same thing that happened to Tua, now it wasn't as egregious where he's, like, falling down like he got punched by Mike Tyson. But Quessenberry had the same thing in the Texans game.
Here's the thing. The replay and what they're looking at is the back of his head in the helmet hitting the ground at a high rate of speed.
Quessenberry helmet hit the helmet of a defensive tackle.
Okay, so the fact is, it's worth investigating because of the fact that he missed 23 minutes of game action. They took him back to the locker room. He stumbled not once but twice.
Sure.
And so they had every right to do what they did.
No, I'm saying that they shouldn't.
Now,
or they didn't.
When you look at it, you have to say, if they can back that all up medically and otherwise, and again, the NFL is employing these people to make these decisions that are impartial to either football team on either side of the sidelines. They work for the league. It's up to them at the end of the day to determine his fate and say he's fit to go back into the game. Is it not?
It's up to the doctors.
Yeah. I'm talking about the one that's not the team doctor for either team.
It's the independent doctor.
The impartial independent doctor provided by the league. If they said it was okay,
fine.
Then I don't think that there's any ground to stand on.
Well, I think it's overrated. I think this whole, Tua, what's he doing? Like, it wasn't the Miami doctors that were like, yeah, Tua, go back into the game. We really want to beat the Bills. It was an NFL doctor that's employed by the NFL. They're the ones making the final decision. So, like, the Dolphins wouldn't be at fault here. And I don't think they are. Look, I mean, he has a bad back. I think everything was fine. It looked really weird. It looked really bad. It looked like he was concussed. But he obviously passed every baseline test because they're going to be super sensitive with any sort of head trauma in the NFL, rightfully so. I think it was on the up and up. I don't see anything shady about it. It looked really weird. It looked egregious. But I believe everything that happened was fine.
Well, okay, I think that it's warranted to investigate it.
Oh, sure, yeah. Fine.
And then see on the flip side. Now, I don't know how you can blame the Dolphins if I don't know how this works on the sidelines and behind the scenes. It's one thing to say they got called into the tent. But then, if there's not a follow-up, once they go to the locker room for halftime and do whatever they did and treated him and did all these different things, if there's not a follow-up from that same independent doctor before he's trying to get back out onto the field and someone gives him his helmet back and it's just the Dolphins making that decision, that's where you really got to make sure that you investigate.
The NFL, who's like a multi-million dollar, they're a nonprofit, right? Multi-million dollar corporation that has that is worried very seriously about head injuries in football. They've made rules. They put in independent doctors. They've done all of this stuff. I believe that, yeah, an investigation's fine, but I also don't think that there was any sort of foul play. Okay. I feel like they've bulletproofed it enough to where there's not any foul play.
It looks shady. It looked like there was more to it.
It looked shady because of the hit.
Yeah.
You didn't see anything that happened on the sideline.
So I'll trust that they'll do their investigation, and if punishment needs to be laid down, then it will be, and if not, we'll move on from it. He played a hell of a second half, and I don't
know. Where do you think the punishment would be?
I mean, I think that they would probably fine the team heavily.
See, yeah, I just can't believe, and I don't know. None of us really know. I can't believe that the team doctors had anything to do with this.
I hope not.
Like, how could they? Like,
but you're asking me a question. I'm just trying to
answer. But the independent doctor would have been like, okay, yeah, he has a concussion. He can't play. And the team doctor's like, oh, no, we're overruling you. Go back into the game.
Well, but I mean, look, if someone gives him his helmet back and he goes back out there, and then it's basically like, okay, NFL guy, what are you going to do, stop the game and have this independent NFL doctor, you know, throw a hanky on the field and say he's not allowed to be out there, and he's going to stop an NFL team and a quarterback at home from going back on the field?
Probably. Probably talk to the official.
I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. But, I mean, again, I'm trying to answer the question for you. I don't know what the ramifications could be, but I think that it's definitely worth the investigation based on how it looked.
Miami's 3-0, off to a really good start. We all love McDaniel as a head coach in the NFL. I was looking through this game. I have no idea how Miami won this game. I have no clue how Miami won this football game. Buffalo ran 90 plays.
Oh, they sure did.
Miami ran 39.
Yep.
Buffalo had nearly 500 yards of offense. Miami barely cracked 200 yards of offense. So you're saying, okay, well, Branham, Buffalo turned it over 4 times. Miami won the turnover advantage plus 4. Just one. Buffalo fumbled it once. Miami didn't fumble it at all. Miami wins this game by 2 points in a game that they got outgained by 280 yards, and the other team ran 50 more plays.
I think, but when you think about those, you can say it's one thing they didn't run a lot of plays, but they maximized what they got out of those plays. I mean, the throw that Tua made into double coverage in the second half that got, he got one to Waddle. You know, they got big plays when they needed it. And that last play of the game, I kept looking at it over and over again going, with 9 seconds on the clock, the running back has a clear line to the sideline if he just runs a straight line. But he started to, like, dance a little bit, looking to try and get closer to the yard marker for the field goal, and got caught, stayed in bounds. The clock ran out. The offensive coordinator broke a tablet, lost his mind, Ken Dorsey, and everybody's talking about it. But I think if the more attention should have been on just get the hell out of bounds, or another play, Josh Allen's got a wide open guy in the corner of the end zone. And it's a throw he probably makes 9 times out of 10. They just got the 10th time. It wasn't a turnover, but it was a really bad play that cost him points.
Yeah, it's just you look at a game that seems so one-sided. Like, a lot of people are looking at Miami, oh, they beat Buffalo. Like, this is kind of one of those fluky games where you play this game 10 times, Buffalo wins this game 9 times. And they did it in Miami as well. So, like, you look at it a little bit closer. Like, Tua, he was fine. I mean, 13 of 18, threw for less than 200 yards, wasn't as good as he's been. Just a wacky game. A wacky game between these two teams. Which team that's currently leading their division in the NFL are you not a believer in? Miami's at the top of the East. Cleveland and Baltimore tied for the AFC North, which that's great for a Houston Texans perspective. The South has Jacksonville at the top, 2-1. AFC West has Kansas City and Denver, 2-1. Let's start at the AFC side.
Well, I mean, I go with a ton of teams here. I'm not a firm believer in Jacksonville for this year like you are. I still think either the Colts or the Titans are going to win the division. I certainly don't believe that Cleveland at the end of the day is going to be winning that division. I don't think Denver is going to win that division. So those three right off the top.
Which of the three is the most to you?
Look, I don't want to take anything away from Jacksonville simply because I think that what they've shown you is they're closer than people thought in terms of getting it right, rebuilding, and being on the radar again. But, and man, it, to me, it's a toss-up between, I think Denver's awful.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and I think Cleveland, as long as Jacoby Brissett still has to quarterback that team, I've said it, and they've started, they're following it. If they just ride the running game, they got a chance in every game to run the clock out and get, you know, yards and points. I don't know how long that's going to last, but I would say the two teams that look the worst, the team that looks the worst to me is Denver, But I still, and I'm yet not a believer completely in Jacksonville.
I'll ride Denver there. I just think Kansas City is going to run away with that division. I don't see Denver making the playoffs. Cleveland, like, I think that Cleveland's a playoff team. I think they're going to be one of the sixth or seventh teams in the AFC.
But isn't that all dependent upon Brissett until you
he's
get
been
to
really good
week
through
11?
Three games. Yeah, it is, but you're getting them back. Like,
really
what's Denver
good?
Adding?
He's managed the game.
He's been really good.
I don't think so.
For Jacoby Brissett's standards, he has been really
well,
good.
That's not saying
he's
much.
Been a huge upgrade over what Baker Mayfield gave the Browns last year. And what were they last year, like 8-9 in the NFL? I think they were like 8-9 last
year. I'm sorry, I can't say he's been really good, but an upgrade is different.
Four touchdowns, one interceptions, completed 66% of his passes. He's been good. He's been good. And look, part of it's because the rest of that team's so good. Amari Cooper was a steal for what they got for him. Nick Chubb leads the league in rushing. So the offense is still very efficient.
And when Nick Chubb goes out, you have a first-tier running back backing him up.
Kareem Hunt's a top 30 running back in the NFL. Yep. And the fact that you're turning to him as your number two. So Brissett's got a lot of the pieces around him. Do I think Brissett's a top five quarterback in the NFL? No. I think he's a very good game manager. And because of the roster that they have around him. And Njoku's been really good, too. They gave him a lot of money this offseason. And he's lived up to the billing. I think Cleveland's going to be a playoff team. Brissett just has to keep him afloat until Deshaun Watson comes back, and then Deshaun Watson can't be rusty. Deshaun Watson has to hit a certain standard of play to keep Cleveland rolling.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's up to Deshaun Watson to take him to the finish line and finish the plan. Look, the other reason why we're just talking about just the Browns themselves, when you look at that division and look at what Lamar Jackson's doing, basically a leading candidate for MVP, and the fact that, you know, with his legs, with his arm, making plays, putting up, you know, scoring, you know, at a very high rate, I think it's as much to do about the rest of their competition as it is about them, too. To win the division, you got to beat Baltimore, and I think you got to beat Baltimore with Brissett early.
Yeah, I think it depends on the bar, right? Are we talking playoffs or are we talking division champion? Because I don't see Cleveland winning the division title.
But if it's to win the division, I don't think they're going to win the division.
Right, but I would still have Denver lower than
Absolutely.
Cleveland. Yeah, so Denver would be the one answer there. On the NFC side of things, Philadelphia's still undefeated. They lead the East at 3-0. There's a three-way tie in your NFC North. They don't include Detroit. Minnesota, Green Bay, Chicago. And then the South has
Chicago's
Tampa Bay
in that
at the top.
It should include Detroit instead of Chicago.
I'll go quick here. Chicago. Chicago leads the
division. No question.
I think Chicago's one of the worst five teams in the NFL. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line real quick. 713-780-3776. Derek, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Derek?
Hey, yeah. Brissett, I'm a Cowboy fan.
Okay.
Any other quarterback, no matter who they're playing against, four touchdowns and one interception, they're doing well. That's a heck of a – and the completion percentages you talked about. But yet, Brissett is not Brissett. I mean, he's doing well. You're an elite, you're 31, 32 teams, one of 30, whatever.
Yeah.
Four touchdowns, one interception. The Texans would love to have him right now, not throwing interceptions in the end zone. So it'd be an upgrade from that. For sure. But come on now. I mean, I'm not saying that the train is going to continue to last, but for right now, give the man his props.
There you go. Give his man his props, Blanks. Do what Derek
said. I
don't
know who
Blanks is, but... I think it's pretty clear who Blanks is. Your name's Joel Blank.
Yeah, no S on the end. It's not plural. I don't call you Branhams. I think
that's a Midwest thing. You should be used to that.
Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
Clyde Drexler thought forever and a day that was my last name, because Lance Blanks of Texas. Okay, give him his props because he's game-managed games. I'm not going to say he's really – you said he's been really good. I'm not going to say he's been really good. He's managed games enough to do his job. There, I gave him his flowers.
I like that you gave Jacoby his flowers. I'm glad you admitted that I was right.
I didn't say that at all. 713-780-ESPN.
Embrace the suck or stop the suck? And we asked the man that everybody wants to know how he feels, Cody Stutes. It's the American Conference opener Friday night under the lights. U of H kicks off its final American Conference slate, hosting the 3-1 Green Wave of Tulane in a blackout game. They want you in the stadium, and they mean it. Tickets are just $10 while supplies last for some Friday night lights. UHCougars.com, 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets. Get on campus early, ditch work early, enjoy all the tailgating. Opens up at 2 o'clock. Leave work around noon. You'll be on campus around 2. Can't beat that. Cougar Walk begins at 3:45. You don't want to miss that as well. Don't miss the pomp and circumstance of college football. Special halftime performance as we celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. The U of H Mariachi Pumas and the Spirit of Houston join together to perform at the half. Entertainment by the cheerleaders, Cougar Doll, Shasta and Sasha, and DJ Yobi Yobes in the student section. Tickets only $10 while supplies last. Head to uhcougars.com or call 713-GO-COUGS. Don't miss all the fun and pageantry of college football. Come early, be loud, and wear black.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brandt.
Hello, this.
Justin Verlander Day. He's pitching at the ballpark. A few Astros have their days off today. It's our favorite game that we play here on the Killer Bees. Blankers, or Blanks, if you want to call them that. Names the off day. Which player is getting the off day?
Oh, yeah. Name the off day.
Name the off day. There's
three. Jordan Alvarez.
There's three. He's one. There's three.
Trey Mancini.
No, he's playing first base today.
Oh. So then Yuli Gurriel.
Yeah, there you go. You
right,
picked
so
up on
two
it.
Of them.
You picked up on it.
Jeremy Pena?
Pena's leading off today.
Oh. Bregman?
You should have gotten it there.
Oh, Altuve.
Altuve, Alvarez, and Yuli are all resting today. So they go Pena, Diaz, Tucker, Bregman, Vasquez, the DH.
I like it.
Mancini, McCormick in left, Dubon in center, Maldonado catching. So they experimented with the whole McCormick in center, Dubon in left thing the other day. Mm-hmm. Dusty didn't like it. He's going Chaz in left, Dubon in center. Oh, well, I forgot.
JV.
Dubon is JV. Yeah, Dubon's JV's personal center fielder. How could I forget? How can I forget that? Cody Stutz with us. Why are you shaking your head?
We better not see that in the playoffs.
No.
We better not see personal center fielder in the playoffs.
I think I would bet that Dubon's your starting center fielder when Verlander's on the mound in the playoffs.
That would be game one.
I would come close to betting that.
That would be game one.
That's an atrocity.
I agree. It is an astrocity. I completely agree. Granato took us to a task, took the Killer Bees to task. He does not like the embrace the suck mantra. In fact, he said he wanted to stop the suck. So we've been talking about this on the show today. Granato pointed to the fact that Casario's not dumb. I don't know what that means. He pointed to the fact that he wants like an Astros 2015 season for the Texans, get them on track for the golden era, even though that this would only be the third year that the Texans have missed the playoffs when the Astros went 9 seasons without making the playoffs and had 3 straight 100 loss seasons. But Cody, you and I have talked about this. You've talked to the Killer Bees about the whole embrace the suck mantra. Are you team hashtag embrace the suck? Are you team hashtag stop the suck?
I would like to stop the suck, please. I would like to have less suck in the immediate future and more success in the immediate future.
You want wins?
Yeah, I want wins, and I want them to look good, too. Like, I don't want, like, if the Texans were 2-1 or 2-0-1 or 3-0, if they were any of those records, every NFL pundit and most of the people in this city, and myself included in that, would be talking about them being the fakest undefeated team in the history of undefeated teams.
Man, there's no doubt about that.
Because there have been 3 straight weeks of incredible advantages that have been handed to the Texans that have been squandered. We talked about this on the show yesterday. Just the amount of players and challenges, the amount of players that were out, and the challenges that those other teams faced in the games that they played the Texans, and the Texans to have no wins coming out of that is disgusting. But they're only 1 win off what I believed they could achieve prior to the season. Now, it is much harder to see what I believed they could achieve being a reality.
What did you have them at?
7 wins.
Okay.
They're only 1 win off.
So you don't want to embrace the suck, but so you obviously believe that there's so many quarterbacks that could be available. Because I've heard you. You've kind of changed your opinion on Davis Mills. At least you understand. You've seen what we've seen.
The results have allowed me to change.
Right. Yeah. So, and I'm not saying you're not allowed to do that, but not by stopping the suck, you're confident that wherever they pick, they will get a quarterback if they need one.
I'm confident that there will be better quarterback play next year. Yes. Yes.
Such a political answer.
What are you going to do, give up multiple picks to get him and give up assets to get that guy?
I don't think he's rolling out Mills.
Here's what I would say. I would think that the 2 quarterbacks that everybody would bend over backwards and trade whatever they need to trade to go get, both those guys showed up in trade-up scenarios, and they weren't the first quarterback taken. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen.
That's because the Bears are idiots.
Watson, too. You can throw him in that mix if you want.
Well, yeah, Deshaun Watson as well. So I don't think it's totally out of the question you could trade up and go get those guys. Look, I was listening to Todd McShay today on a podcast, Ryan Russillo's podcast. There's three first-round quarterbacks next year.
Yep.
There's Bryce Young, there's C.J. Stroud, and there's Will Levis. The first two guys are going to go within the top two, three, four picks. So if you don't have one of those, you got to end up with Will Levis.
I would disagree on Stroud. I don't think Stroud's going to end up going top five. That's a hot take, I know.
Stroud was McShay's number one guy.
Yeah, he was Kuiper's, too.
From what I've seen, he better have a hell of a going forward season.
The thing that's going to hurt Young, despite the fact that we're going to watch him be awesome for the rest of the year, and we watched him be awesome last year, is McShay said that scouts stood in front of him, and he measured in at 5'10", 186, which would be like the lightest quarterback in all of football and one of the shorter quarterbacks in all of football.
Kyler Murray went first overall.
Yes.
Kyler Murray's shorter than
Kyler Murray's
than
probably
Bryce
a
Young.
Better runner than
Bryce Young. Yeah. But Bryce Young's still really elusive, and I would say Bryce Young has better like command, better accuracy.
Oh,
than
I
Kyler
definitely
now, Kyler has a stronger arm.
Yep. Sure.
Kyler has a cannon.
Bryce Young does not look like, as a scout once told an ESPN draft guy, Bryce Young does not look like a toddler who stole his parents' phone running when he has the football in his hands, which
I saw
is what
that gif.
Kyler Murray looks like when he's running around.
I think it depends on who has the first pick if they would be willing to select Bryce Young. Like somebody like the Arizona Cardinals, I think, would be willing to do that. Not this, you know, addition to the Cardinals because they have Kyler. I don't believe somebody like Nick Caserio would. Nick Caserio has proven, short GM career, that he doesn't like small quarterbacks. He's brought in, every quarterback he's brought in has been big, and New England has never had a small quarterback, which was his previous stop.
The tough part about Caserio is he's not super huge on like having a prove it resume.
Mm-hmm.
You look at some of the selections that he's made. Like Derek Stingley had a really great resume from his first year in college, but the totality of the resume paled in comparison to what Sauce Gardner put together, and they ended up with Derek Stingley in that conversation. Just they almost hired Josh McCown to be the head coach. The resume wasn't there. Nick Caserio doesn't care about your resume, which is kind of a scary thought when you think about where he could potentially go from a quarterback standpoint.
I don't know if I hate that, actually. I don't know if I hate that about Caserio. I like that. I believe I like that. Like, go get the guy you think is going to be the better NFL guy. Who cares if he's the better college guy?
I like quarterbacks that have played more. I like quarterbacks that have played more in college than played less. So I like guys that have been multi-year starters and have had some measure of success.
I like Jeremy's theory that, and I'm a believer in it more and more, and especially after watching Stroud play Wisconsin, I believe that when you're one of the best programs in the country and you have elite receivers and elite weapons all over the field and they get open and have they create such distance between them and the defenders, it's a whole lot easier to hit targets than it is in the NFL.
That's why the scout on Stroud will be fascinating because the failures of Justin Fields and some of the Ohio State quarterbacks are going to be held against him.
No doubt.
Specifically the recent field stuff, because that's same coaching staff, same guy calling the offense in Ryan Day. So that'll be held against him in the scout, and that's certainly a part of the evaluation going forward is how much of this stuff is, well, it's Ohio State versus the rest of the Big Ten, and how much of it's C.J. Stroud versus these defenders.
Let me make sure I'm hearing you right here. You rather have 7 wins in the 10th pick of the draft than 3 wins in the first pick of the draft?
Yes.
Man, that's a concept I cannot get around.
Because if you got the 7 wins after this start, and you still felt like you needed a quarterback, then a lot of other crap's gone right.
You could have 3 wins right now and have poor quarterback play. You could be 3-0 right now with poor quarterback play.
Sure, and you've gotten poor quarterback play and you're winless.
Right, but you're also a first down away from winning the Denver game. You're probably a defensive stop away from winning the Denver game. And then you're probably a non-interception inside your own 20 and then also in their end zone away from winning the Chicago game. We talked about this yesterday. Cooper Rush would have you 3-0 right now.
You're 8 completions from Davis Mills away from being the worst 3-0 team in the history of football.
But you're not 8 completions away from Davis Mills being the guy.
No, you're not.
So there's just because you're winning 7 games doesn't also mean that Davis Mills is your franchise quarterback. You can get to, not anymore. Sure. I don't think you can get to 7 wins anymore. But at the start of the season, like especially if they won these 3 games,
My faith in their ability to get to 7 is damn near non-existent.
I also agree with you that the Texans have the draft capital to trade for any quarterback in the entire NFL. If there was a quarterback in the entire NFL that was on the trade market, they would be at the top of the list to be able to acquire that quarterback. It's the same thing with a rookie quarterback. If somebody has the first pick and they're willing to trade down, the Texans would be at the top of their list as a trade partner because of their draft capital. The problem that I have with that is the trading the draft capital. Like if we all think that the Texans need let's just use Bryce Young as the example here. They need the franchise quarterback. They need Bryce Young. I want that. I want Bryce Young while also not trading the future draft capital, because I feel like the Texans are so far away. It's not just the quarterback. It's the quarterback plus all of the other holes that you need to fill. And if you're trading for that quarterback, it makes it pretty difficult to build that team.
Yeah, I just would want, when you figure out who the quarterback is, if in my scenario with the 7 wins, he'd be walking into a team where he could win some games right away.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't want another year where you're getting your head bashed in, you're looking forward to the hope and the future and this and that. Like, if you just were able to put together a good enough performance over the course of this year that you won some football games, and you're looking around, you're like, damn, we got some guys on defense. We got a secondary. We got some guys on the offensive line that we really, really like. We found some players in our skill position set up that we really like. If you could just put that together and just swap out the quarterback, I would take that over a whole other year.
You think they're there? I don't think they're there. I don't think that's feasible.
Well, it's harder to see that path being successful, but you gave me the kind of the pick.
Sure.
You know? So I picked the one that had the more optimistic outlook.
What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today?
Is Lovie Smith a one-and-done coach? Fun conversation to have after you start to talk about the future. And BK has a theory that help is on the way.
All right, very good. Thank to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Brandon. The Wheelhouse next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Right now, I want to tell you about the good people at MyBookie. Look, I've been telling you over and over again, if you're going to put money on a game, you want to make the most uninteresting game more interesting, you go to MyBookie.ag. You do it for a variety of reasons. One, because you can pay with a multitude of options. You can pay with credit card. You can pay with cash. You can pay with a check. You can also, when you win, get paid immediately, and they're not going to hem and haw and try and encourage you to keep it there because you don't. They don't have the money to pay it out. They also take care of their customers over and over again, and they're doing it again by using the promo code BET975. That's right. If you sign up or get back into your account and make a deposit up to $1,000, use the promo code BET975, double your next deposit, get double that money into your account. So you put $200 in your account, you got $400 to play with. That means more money in your account, more games to bet on, more chances to win. They also got this thing called Prop Builder, where you can create the bet based on a player, a team, a tendency. Make the bet, use the Prop Builder, and have your chance at winning season. Winning season is a big thing right now, and you can be a part of it at mybookie.ag. Just put in that promo code BET975, double your next deposit, and double your chances at fun and winning. It's all about betting anything, anytime, anywhere, with the only place I tell you to do it, mybookie.ag.